Today's reading comes from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and we're reading from verses 12 through to 21, I think. Yes. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for that, Marion. And good to be with all of you this morning, and yes, a very special greeting and blessing to all mums, grandmums amongst us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A man's wife is missing. The man says, "Officer, my wife is missing. She went out yesterday and she hasn't come home." "Officer, okay, what's her height?" "Man, not sure, maybe around 5'6". "Officer, okay, weight?" "I don't know, not slim, not big." "Officer, okay. Colour of her eyes?" "Man, sort of blue, I think. Never really noticed." "Officer, what colour was her hair?" "Well, that changes, all depending on which hairdresser she goes to." "Officer, what clothes was she wearing the last time you saw her?" "The man, could have been a red dress. Maybe a blue one. I don't know exactly." "Officer, when she left to go somewhere, did she go by car?" "Man, yeah, she did." "Officer, what was the make of the car?" "It's a high-performance 560-horsepower Audi in a very specific silver-grey metallic paint, has 8-speed paddle-shift automatic transmission and a 6.35-litre 12-cylinder engine. It has a Z51 super performance package, larger than normal alloy wheels, GT bucket seats, satellite navigation, and unfortunately a little thin scratch on the front left door handle." "Officer, don't worry, sir, we'll find your car." Ever feel something is missing? Our reading today speaks of something that may be missing sometimes. In John 14, we're continuing this week in what's called the farewell discourse of Jesus, which runs from chapter 14 to 17 in John. It's leading up to Jesus' crucifixion. He's about to die. And so the things that Jesus is speaking of here to the disciples, as you can imagine, are the most crucial things in life. The really important stuff. And so last week we noted in the first part of chapter 14, Jesus was speaking about himself being the only way and the only truth to lead us to fullness of life. And so the focus now in verses 15 following is on the Holy Spirit, the presence and action of the Holy Spirit. He's going to come into our lives in a new way, Jesus teaches. And it's not possible to live the Christian life. It just cannot happen without the Holy Spirit being at work in our lives. Do we ever feel something is missing from our lives as Christians? It could be, to some extent, the presence and action of the Holy Spirit. That can happen. Happens to Christians. And we all need to get the fullness of that presence and action. So today, the Holy Spirit in action. And so firstly, we're going to, in order to do that, we're going to look at from this passage at who the Holy Spirit is. Secondly, what the Holy Spirit does. Thirdly, how he affects our lives. So firstly, who the Holy Spirit is. Jesus says there to his disciples, he's talking about him going away, but he says, I'm going to send to you another. And so what does he mean by another? Well, he's the one going away, so it means another one kind of just like him. And so the one who's going to come, he speaks of him being the Holy Spirit, is going to have divine power, just like Jesus does. The Holy Spirit we first see in the Bible in chapter 1 of Genesis. He's there in creation, Genesis tells us, hovering over the waters of chaos before creation is brought out of it. And it's the Holy Spirit wielding divine power that brings the creation of the universe about. Also on Pentecost, we celebrate that in a couple of weeks' time, when the Holy Spirit is first poured out on the Christian church in a new special way, there's all sorts of signs that what's going on is divine. There's tongues of fire. Fire in the Bible speaks of God's presence and it speaks of God's truth and judgment. It also speaks of God's love, and the miraculous events happen that do at Pentecost. The followers of Jesus speak in new tongues that they've never learnt, and foreigners who are present hear God's truth being spoken to them. So the Holy Spirit has the divine power just as Jesus does, divine power. Yet the Holy Spirit is not only a power. Also like Jesus, the Holy Spirit is a person. If we read what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit, particularly the New Testament, it speaks of him in a personal way. He loves God the Father, God the Son, and he loves what God loves. He loves his creation. And he responds in obedience. He responds with joy. And so the Holy Spirit is spoken of as a person, just as God the Father and God the Son are. And so that's why the Bible uses the personal pronoun he for the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a he, a person. And just as an aside, it's worth mentioning, as the Bible uses the masculine pronoun for God, he, whether it's Father, Son, or Holy Spirit, it's important to point out that who God is not limited to human biology. It is much, much bigger than that. And when we see in the Bible the fullness of how the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit relate to one another and love one another and give life, who they are also contains the fullness and richness of everything that motherhood is. And so that's why the Bible also likens God at many points to a mother. But incredibly, we read in verse 23, which comes just after where our reading finished today, Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes, you'll know that not only the Holy Spirit comes, but I will be with you and God the Father will be with you and we will make our home with you. Do you see what's going on? The incredible relationship of Father, Son and Holy Spirit comes to us and becomes real in our day-to-day lives. And we're included in that. We're included in their home life. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit and us. And the fact that the Holy Spirit is also a person who comes into us and who takes us up to become a part of his life means that he puts his personality in us. And that shapes and molds our personality. I'd just like to read to you from William Dumas, who's an Aboriginal pastor in Australia, from Gangalar. And he speaks of his conversion and growth from a very broken background. He says, the Holy Spirit began to teach me. My grandmother has seen the change in my life. She's seen what Jesus could do. And so that revealed to my grandma that God's real, because no one could actually change my life. No culture, no land council, but Jesus Christ was the one that changed my life. And she gave her life to the Lord. I'm now in full-time ministry. It's all because of the power of Jesus. It's all because of what God has done for my life. What I love about Jesus is how he can touch people's lives within the soul, within the heart of a person. The Holy Spirit can just reach down inside and remove the darkest shades and then make it so bright for Jesus to walk straight in. It's not just a religious thing, but it's changed by the power of Jesus, because all of our mistakes and our weaknesses are healed by him. Do you see that? The Holy Spirit puts his personality within us, and then that starts to mould and shape our personality to be a true and better person. So that's who the Holy Spirit is, divine and a person. Secondly, what the Holy Spirit does. And we get a wonderful insight into all that the Holy Spirit does through a special word that Jesus uses as a name for him in verse 16 in John 14. It's a Greek word, paraklete, and it can be translated in many different ways, which it is in our many different translations of the Bible. And what that tells us is that it has a rich and complex meaning, because it can express many rich truths. One of the ways you'll see it translated is helper. Jesus says, I'll send you another helper. And that's not just for us to get our tasks done in life, although it does include that. But what that mostly means is he helps us to see and do what God's tasks are for us, to be his people and to witness to him. Which reminds me of a minister's son one Sunday asked, Mummy, why does Daddy pray every Sunday morning? And his mum said, well, that's so that God will help him. And the little boy said, well, why doesn't he? But no, the Holy Spirit is a true helper. Another way that word is translated is as comforter. When we are going through difficult times, particularly bereavement or tragedy, we want to have people around us and we enjoy their company. They hug us. They support us. And nothing has changed of the tragedy. That's still there and still real. But their presence around us, their support, strengthens and helps us incredibly. Well, the Holy Spirit does the same, only much, much more by his presence. Last week, I read the story of a South Australian lady, Gillian, who went through incredible tragedy, and she described in the middle of that tragedy looking to God how it was almost like a physical sensation of God's arms being around her. Another way that word is translated from verse 16 is advocate. Advocate is another name that's sometimes used for a lawyer. It has its strongest meaning in the legal context, like our defence attorney, someone who argues our case against an opponent, and we'll come back to that a bit more a little later on. Also, that idea of advocate, what sometimes blokes might call their wingman, you know, their very closest friend and supporter, can help us in challenging situations that we're in. And that closest friend to us can also challenge us. That's a way of giving us their ultimate support as well, by pointing out the things to us that we need to be aware of and do something about. It's interesting, those three terms, helper, comforter, advocate, helping, comforting, supporting, they're also three characteristics we very closely associate with motherhood. Again, emphasising motherhood and all that it is divine. It comes from God. But the heart of that word that's translated in John 14, paraklete, is literally coming alongside. Para, we get our word paramedic from it, or parallel. It's something that comes alongside. And klete is just to call. Someone who comes alongside us and calls us to, or calls us to do something. And Jesus speaks there in this part of John's Gospel about what the Holy Spirit calls us to. And I'd just like to read those for you. Chapter 14, verse 26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Chapter 15, verse 26. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. And then chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Do you get what's being said there? What the Holy Spirit does is he calls, he speaks, he tells us the truth about Jesus Christ. And when the Bible speaks about what Jesus said, Jesus speaks about the Holy Spirit reminding of what he said. It means the things that Jesus taught and said, but it also means the whole of the Bible. It says in Luke 24, 27, Jesus says there, the whole of the Bible talks about him, and he went with his disciples to explain that and to uncover that for them. The Holy Spirit never says anything that does not sit true with Jesus and the Bible. Very important that we get that point. Tanya Harris, pastor, speaker, author, theologian, says this, As promised, Jesus left and the Spirit came. The rest of the New Testament tells us how the Spirit vividly fulfilled Jesus' words, reminding people of the gospel and applying it to their lives. Thus the Spirit spoke to bring salvation and healing and give instructions about how to build the church. The Spirit spoke to lead mission into new areas and to new people groups. The Spirit spoke about personal situations to bring people into closer relationship with God and to show them how to respond to new challenges. Each time, the message of Jesus was applied by the Spirit to new places and situations. Each time, it was consistent with what Jesus had already said. In response, the church heard and followed. As they did, people were saved, disciples formed, and Jesus' mission was continued. The Holy Spirit applies the truth of Jesus to our lives. And you know, the core of the truth of Jesus, of what Jesus did, is his birth, his death, and his resurrection. They're the three key things focused on in the Creed. And so the Holy Spirit comes alongside us and he calls us into all of this and everything that it means. And this really highlights that advocate role of the Holy Spirit. As we said, a bit like a lawyer arguing our case. What is our situation in life and as we stand before God? Well, we've all fallen short. We've all done wrong. We are all sinful. What has Jesus done through particularly his death and resurrection? Well, he has fulfilled the law for us. He paid the penalty that every human being is warranted to pay for their sin, for their failure. He has paid it to completion. He's paid every last cent so that there's no more to pay. And so what Jesus and the Holy Spirit do is that they come to us and they speak to us this truth. Yes, we've failed. Yes, we deserve judgment, if anything. But what Jesus and the Holy Spirit do point to what Jesus has done on the cross to completely cover our debt, to completely set us free. And so we are legally free. The Holy Spirit argues our case. He points to what Jesus has done and we are free. Now, what's that like? I think once I used to think of it a bit like this, you know, that there I am, Jonathan, and I mess things up. And I continue to mess things up. And I used to think it was like, you know, I went one day and asked for forgiveness and I was forgiven and then, you know, the very next day I've messed up again. And so I thought, well, maybe it's like Jesus. He then goes to God the Father and he says, you know, Father, about this Jonathan, you know, I know he messed up yesterday, and you forgave him and look, promised to do better, but he's messed up again. Can you please just maybe give him another break, you know, give him another start? Could you please, you know, forgive him? No, it's not like that. Jesus doesn't go whining or grovelling on our behalf to God. He simply points to what has been done in the cross. And so what that means is he's saying to God, look, God, what I've done, the only just thing you can do is forgive them. That's the only just thing. If God is going to be just and holy, he has to forgive us on the basis of what Jesus has done. Who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit does. Now just finally, three, how that works out in our lives. How does that affect our lives? And what we need to note is it sure does affect our lives. Just to Tanya Harris again. Of course, the Spirit hasn't stopped fulfilling Jesus' mission. In my recent research on the theology and practice of hearing God's voice, I saw the same process at work in dozens of Australians' lives. In interview after interview, people told of how, after hearing the Spirit speak, they were healed and transformed, released into their giftings and spurred into mission. One woman saw a vision of God's hand reaching into her heart and woke up healed from the wounds of a painful divorce. Another man dreamed of an unknown building that later became the location of a new church. A young Christian dreamed of a group of veiled women with a sign saying, "Prepare to go." 10 years of fruitful missionary work in Far East Asia was the outcome. As I listened to their testimonies, one thought stood out. The Spirit was doing the work. Whenever the Spirit spoke, people grew in faith. Transformation came and community was reached. One genuine Spirit-inspired experience provided the motivation, resource and grace to fulfill God's purposes. Whenever the Spirit spoke, disciples were made. Jesus speaks there, you know, the Holy Spirit affecting our lives. Well, what's the Holy Spirit do in our lives? Well, just about absolutely anything and everything, Jesus says, ask anything in my name and it will happen. What does that mean? Well, it doesn't just mean that we come up with any old wish list of every, you know, pet thing we'd most like and rattle that off to Jesus. No, asking in his name means in a way that conforms to who Jesus is and what his will is. The Bible speaks of our lives as Christians, as disciples, as a process of us being shaped more and more into the image of Christ. And our reading from John 14 speaks of us, when we know the Spirit's come to us in this way, then we will live in a way that we love God and we obey his commandments. So that's the other side of that advocacy work of the Holy Spirit. Our wingman, our closest, best, sincere friend, they will tell us the stuff that's wrong in our lives. They will point out the things where we need to conform to who Christ is and what his truth is and what his love is. The Holy Spirit does painful things in our lives also, yet they are good things. They are the best things because they're shaping us to be more and more like Christ. Tanya Harris again. In the interviews, I also noticed that the Spirit was speaking to people about vastly different things. One person was being challenged to forgive his father. Another was receiving a deeper revelation of God's love. Another was being called to be generous to their grumpy neighbour. Another was learning to topple the idols of materialism and social status. In clever and strategic ways, the Spirit tailored the discipleship process to each person. While the pathways were different, the goal was the same. In all the stories, the Spirit was leading the process. Jesus was still calling his disciples to heed his voice and to follow. How might the Holy Spirit also shape the church, shape our church family to be set up more to allow and to expect and to encourage the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives in these dynamic ways? And just to, in finishing, just a few more words from Tanya Harris about this. How's the Holy Spirit want to shape our congregation? On a practical level, this requires us to build churches that facilitate Spirit-led discipleship. While we can neither make God speak nor make people listen, we can create cultures where people are equipped to hear, recognise and respond to the Spirit. We can provide the context for people to come to faith and expectation to hear the Spirit directly and equip them with the tools for active discernment. Then we encourage them to actively follow whatever that looks like. We need to let the Holy Spirit shape our lives. We need to let the Holy Spirit shape our church, shape everything we do. Just finally, you know, we noted Jesus says, ask anything in my name and it will be done. Well, that means asking things that are in accordance with Jesus' truth, but within that framework, don't sell short what the Holy Spirit can do. Do you know what I mean? Within the framework of Jesus' will, shoot for the stars, because that's what he wants to do. He wants to bring about his greatest purposes in our lives and in our church and in our world. Within that framework, shoot for the stars in your prayers, in your expectations, following Jesus, day-to-day following of Jesus. Shoot for the stars. Maybe just to slightly balance that story that I opened with today, a woman one day said, my husband has been missing for 6 days now. The police said to prepare for the worst. So I went to the charity shop to get his clothes back. Better say amen.